Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Nagler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. It is Tuesday. We are so close. We are single digits away from the NFL draft occurring in Green Bay, Wisconsin. I, myself, will be flying to the motherland tomorrow morning, bright and early. I'm going to be in Appleton, Wisconsin, and then in Green Bay, Wisconsin, tomorrow afternoon. I'm very excited to be back in, let's say it, let's call it what it is, God's country. That's right. I'm going to get myself some Carry the G, some Spotted Cow, some cheese curds. Cannot wait. I am very excited. The Packers, as it were, are focused and continuing a slew of pre-draft visits, including Tet McMillan, the wide receiver out of Arizona. A source, an honest-to-goodness source, tells Cheesehead TV that Tet was in the building today. This comes a couple weeks after Brian Gutekunst was the only NFL general manager in attendance at his private workout for scouts. Interesting couple of events there. I mean, clearly the Packers are doing their work at the wide receiver position, especially some of the premier guys. Tet adds to the list of Matthew Golden, who was in, I believe, a week or two ago, and Ebuka from Ohio State, having been in the door. Pretty clear that the top of the market, so to speak, at the wide receiver position, the Packers have been doing their due diligence. Now, I don't think that that, you know, means much of anything other than the Packers want to make sure that they are have done all the work necessary if they are to make an investment on any of these young men. I also think there's still a decent chance and a decent possibility that they wait at wide receiver and try to get someone like Jaden Higgins in round two, or maybe even someone down the line in the third round. But they're certainly doing their work, and you can't dismiss it. And I've seen a lot of people talk about, oh, it's a smokescreen, this, that, or the other thing. And, you know, a reminder here, just because maybe they do all this work on any number of these prospects and don't end up selecting them, it doesn't mean it was a smokescreen. Means they're doing their work. I do think back when Ted was the general manager, there was a lot more of that, a lot more of kind of maybe not a misdirection attempt, but certainly not a tipping of the hand, as it were, of genuine interest. That seemingly has shifted under Brian Gutekunst. When they have utilized these pre-draft visits, it's almost always because, yes, they want to do work and they want to get more information, but it's usually about or in service of a player that they are genuinely interested in. And it doesn't necessarily, you know, go out the window if these guys don't end up getting drafted. A perfect example is Andre Dillard, a guy they really liked, had in for a pre-draft visit, ended up being selected by the Eagles, and then obviously spent a year with the Titans and then was in the door with Green Bay last summer. So this work, as Brian says, is 365 and it is ongoing, and it is about getting information not only for now, but further down the line, and whoever they might end up being or becoming or ending up available later on their NFL career. All that groundwork that the pro personnel department will be leaning on is being done right now in the draft process. So the McMillan thing is interesting. There's no doubt that in my eyes, he's probably the most coveted wide receiver. I won't specifically say he's the top wide receiver because I know there are some differences of opinion in that regard, but he would certainly be a dynamic addition to a wide receiver group that did somewhat underperform last year and would provide them with the body type outside that they certainly need. And there's little question that he would be a boon in the red zone, another area where they struggled last year. Would become a very friendly target for Jordan Love in those situations. So, we'll see what transpires here a little bit over a week until we get to the draft, but intrigue ramping up here in the lead up to the 2025 NFL draft. And hey, man, you know, because I can't believe I'm going to be in Wisconsin tomorrow on Thursday night of this week, be sure you're coming on out to the Timber Rattlers game for draft and craft night with myself and Andy Herman of the Packaday podcast. You can get tickets in advance for a pre-game draft talk and a meet and greet. And then Andy and I have thrown out the first pitch. God help us all. And I'll be firing off the Bratzuka, which, let's be honest, this is the whole reason I signed up for this gig. I can't wait. Hopefully you can come on out Thursday night, the Timber Rattlers game. Going to be a lot of fun. And then next week, you know what it is, our meetup on Wednesday night, the NFL draft meetup with Cheesehead TV at Stage 1 in downtown Green Bay, Wednesday, April 23rd from 8 to 11 p.m. Carry the G will be on special. We got Cheesehead TV giveaways, some special Packers guests showing up throughout the evening. It's going to be a lot of fun. Head on there, head on down there, downtown, Wednesday night before the draft. Let me tell you, I've been getting some invites here in the last couple of days. Things are really starting to ramp up. There's a lot going on in the Green Bay area over the course of the next 10 to 12 days. Hopefully, if you can't make it out to one of these events, you'll be able to find another area where you can enjoy everything that Green Bay has to offer. There's a lot going on, a lot of fun. One other event that I don't have a graphic for, but I should tell everybody about, we'll be at the mall the afternoon of our meetup. The meetup is at night. We will have a meetup of sorts and a Q&A and all sorts of fun. We're going to be doing a mock draft. We're going to be having a lot of different content creators. Matt Ramage will be in attendance. Andy Herman will be there. There's rumors that Tom Grossi is going to make an appearance. So be on the lookout for that. That'll be at 1 in the afternoon on Wednesday, the 23rd, at the mall there in Ashwaubenon. Come on out. If you can't make the night, gig because of whatever, I had a couple people ask me about bringing kids to the meetup, which, hey, it's a bar in Wisconsin. So do your own math. But I would suspect that the mall event probably a little more children friendly. Bring the kids on out for that, and then you can take them to, shopping or whatever. But it'll be a lot of fun. I'll have more information on that by the end of the week. Lots going on. Whole lot going on. Speaking of a lot going on, a lot of folks chiming in the comments. Good to see everybody. Hope you're all doing well. Mr. Tundra says, I'm hoping we pick up Jaden Higgins in the second round. As I said at the top, very, very possible. No doubt about it. Dustin, thanks for the super chat, man. Any world where Ja for Jalen happens, I can't fathom the Packers pulling that trigger, especially given the Jalen contract situation. But I know I would say never say never, but that feels like a never going to happen. But hey, man, Negler's never right, so we shall see. Devin S., thanks for the super chat, man. Matthew Golden, please. He's a bit polarizing, I got to admit. I love his game. I don't see him as a first-round prospect. I think he makes a ton of sense in the second round. But, I would love the addition. I think he'd be a really excellent complement to what they have on hand already at the position. But, man, I got some pushback when I mentioned his name on Twitter yesterday because the NFL had listed all the guys who are going to be in Green Bay for the draft. And, just thinking out loud, Matthew Golden becoming the first wide receiver drafted to the Packers since 2002 with Lambeau Field in the background, first round, all the buzz. And someone said, oh, it'd be terrible if they broke the streak with that guy. Like, what? whether it's, you believe you should be a first rounder or not, like, can we let some of these guys get on an NFL football field before we start decrying how terrible that pick would be? Just kind of blows my mind sometimes. Brandy says she still thinks Gutekunst trades out of round one. Not saying it's impossible, though that definitely is a possibility. Especially in a draft where it really feels like pick number 23, say, and pick 43 are not wildly diverse in terms of value and the types of players you're going to be able to get. So I wouldn't put it past him. No question about it. Joe, what's going on, man? Wicks led Packers with 76 targets in 2024, which was 70th in the NFL. Will Packers keep spreading the ball like this in 2025? It's an excellent question. I think some of it will be dependent on the makeup of the room, right? Like, what are the wide receivers on offer? Who gets added in the draft or even, after the draft in free agency, which I don't see that happening, but you never know. But I suspect, given the way they're going to be forced to operate without Christian Watson, there isn't a perfect kind of replacement type in this draft for him. I would be surprised if they don't maybe button it up a little bit. And we saw how much they ran the ball last year. that certainly is one of the reasons that they weren't as kind of proficient, especially on early downs in the passing game, where you can maybe, you know, work a little bit more freely with some different coverages where teams think you're going to run the ball, etc. But I suspect we're going to see a continuation of what we saw last year. Now, maybe there's some serious upending going, but I know LaFleur likes certain guys out there for, you know, various plays and things that they can do off of certain looks. And you don't have to look much further than the Jaden Reed usage, right? The fact that when there are two wide receiver sets out there, he is barely involved. And more often than not, they want those guys on the perimeter, blocking on the edge, powerful guys who can seal things and get guys out of the way for hopefully what will turn into a long run. Jaden Reed is very rarely out there in those situations. Maybe something changes. Maybe they do a kind of major surgery as far as the rotation goes, but I would be surprised. I think we'll see a continuation of the same kind of rotation we saw last year. Dustin, how you doing, man? My brother just filled the Shadow Lane house with Carrie the G and Spotted Cow. Now I just need to crack open the Whistle Pig and get into Green Bay. Dustin, you are living the dream right there, man. That sounds like a good time. A very good time. Nick, this is an excellent question, and it could only come from Facebook. Did you fall for the incredible bulk hype back in the day when the Pack drafted Tony Mandrich? Who would have been your pick? I mean, I was very much of the opinion that he was going to be like the next great thing. So, yeah, I don't know if I fell for it much so much as I thought he was going to be a great player. And I think a lot of people did, including the Packers. You know, obviously you look back and it's a terrible pick considering all the guys that went around him. But I understood it in the moment. You know, it's a tough one for the Packers to take historically. You look back at it and consider all the guys they could have had. It's a hard kind of moment as a Packers fan. But again, back in the day, and plus back then, we weren't doing 365 days of draft talk. You know, it was a lead up to the draft. You got excited about a couple guys. The Packers had a top pick, and it made a world of sense for them to take Mandrich. So I never kill the team for that one. I know it sucks, and I hate how it turned out, but you know, there was precious little to say that he was going to be as big a bust as he became. That doesn't, you know, excuse it. Doesn't mean, like, obviously they made the wrong choice, but I understood it. I get why they made the pick. Complicated fella. It's an interesting question. So how many players do you think the Packers are really short of making the Super Bowl? One or two or more players? Whatever the answer, would you think would affect how they draft? No, how close or far away they think they are from, or we think they are from, the Super Bowl or contending for a Super Bowl wouldn't, in my mind, my guess would be, wouldn't change their approach a huge amount when it comes to the draft. As far as what I think they're two or three players away. And there's little question in my mind that, you know, you get some development from within as far as, especially at wide receiver, that's the one we've been talking about today, obviously, but at offensive line and certainly across your defensive front. That's a lot of ifs, no question about it. But if you get the suspected and the expected development in those areas, you don't need rookies to come in and be supermen. You certainly need a contributor or two, and it would be nice if you got a couple of starters, two or three starters out of this draft. But I think fans look at the Packers in the view or through the lens of the rest of the NFL. And the rest of the NFL, obviously, you know, every team is different, but a lot of the NFL operates in a slightly different way than the Packers do. That's not telling tales out of school. The Packers are a very unique franchise, and they have a very different way of working. But I do think Packers fans see the Packers as this kind of really far away team. Like, they are so, they're like, I don't know. I see it in my mentions all the time. Like, people talking about, unless they do XYZ, sign this big name, trade for this big name player, and absolutely nail the draft, where they have five guys contributing right out of the gate. Unless they do all of that, they'll never compete for a Super Bowl in 2025. I'm not sitting here saying they're ready to compete right now today, march to the Super Bowl, but they're way closer than I think most Packers fans believe. I know they took a step back in regards to competition, top flight competition last year, especially within the division. It's a frustrating series last season, no question about it. But you can't pull back and look at the entire NFL, especially on the NFC side, and think the Packers aren't in the mix if they get a couple, you know, like I said, steps forward from guys who are already on the roster and add a rookie or two who can contribute right away. And I'm not even saying coming in and start, coming in and dominate, just contribute. If they can do that, they're right in the mix, especially, again, on the NFC side. I do not doubt that for a second. Big Al, what's going on, man? I really want Walter Nolan in the first round, but he might not be available by the time the Packers pick. What's your favorite defensive line in this draft? Woo, baby. I'm a Derek Harmon guy, but I do like Walter Nolan's game. I know he was in for a visit today as well, per Matt Schneidman. Yeah, I think any one of those big guys at that point, at 23, makes a world of sense to me. I keep hearing, you know, Ted Thompson's voice in my head, the good Lord only made so many, talking about athletic big men, right? So if there's one available there at 23, one of the premier ones, and Nolan certainly is one of those, yeah, I wouldn't bat an eye. That's, I think, way more likely in the first round than a wide receiver myself. Josh, how are you, man? Carry the G still available back home in Appleton with the draft on the horizon? Yes, it is. Yes, it is. It is available several places. You can look on the Cheesehead TV website, go to the beer tab, and find our interactive map. And we have a mostly up to date. I'm not going to promise that every single place still has it, but I'd say 90% of the spots on the interactive map there are still carrying Carry the G, and they are later year deliveries. This isn't something that's been sitting there since like last August or September. Lots still on offer. Get out there, get some. Like I said, it's going to be available next Wednesday out there in Green Bay during our meetup. Get yourself some Carry the G. It'll be a lot of fun. Devin, you ain't lying, man. Devin, thanks for the super chat. Really hope LVN can take that jump this year. Whoo, baby. Yes. Really hope that is the case. I mean, look, I'm not saying that it's not possible. It certainly is. And we certainly hope for it as Packers fans. Man, there is precious little evidence out there on tape so far to suggest that it's just around the corner, right? Now, oftentimes, especially along the defensive line, it does take guys a year or two to acclimate to the NFL and to really come into their own. We've certainly seen that throughout the history of the league. But man, when you're getting out snapped by an undrafted free agent as the former 13th overall pick, that's tough on the resume. And I know I'm not saying anything Van Ness himself isn't aware of. You know, he was asked about it at the kickoff of the tailgate tour, and he understands that it is a big, big year for him, and he has got to bring his A game from the jump. Devin, I'm with you, man. No question about it. Ed, thanks for the super chat. Zen chat. I got nothing. I hear you, Ed. You know, we're approaching the draft. We're like 9 days out. What is it? Eight, nine days out. Man, the talk has been talked. The hay is in the barn. Let's get the selections going so we can start talking about all the newest Green Bay Packers. I'm with you on that one. Ryan, thanks for being a Care of the G Club member. Will Ed Policy be more hands-on or hands-off? Excellent question. The answer to which no one really knows. I suspect he'll continue much as Mark has these past 18 years or whatever it's been. I don't think we'll see a marked difference in how he approaches it. I think he'll have his own, obviously, touch and things he wants to emphasize and ways of working, but I suspect it's not going to be some sudden, you know, we constantly see Ed Policy in the news because he's in front of cameras all the time. But I also don't think he's going to be a hermit and hide. I do think his press conferences will be a little different, you know, than a lot of the, I know I would say, unfortunate sound bites throughout the years we sometimes got from a nervous sounding Mark Murphy. who never met an open mic that he couldn't, take over. But yeah, I don't know. The policy thing is interesting because no one really knows. I mean, you can point to his time as the head of the Arena Football League, which he ran for several years, and try to parse out how he operated in that situation. But it is pretty significantly different than the setup in Green Bay, what he's going to be asked to be doing as the president and CEO, the steward of the franchise. But yeah, I think lots of people are waiting to find that out, including lots of folks inside 1265 Lombardi. Going to be fascinating. Beer 30, how you doing, man? How is Green Bay going to handle the influx of people for the draft, in your opinion? I think it'll be fine. I think people obviously are kind of curious and maybe worried about it. But I do think so many people are going to be staying outside of Green Bay that you'll see, obviously, traffic and an influx of people. But I think it's going to kind of be like the tides. It's going to come in and it's going to come out because so many people are going to be coming in for the day of the draft. And then they're going to go back to where Milwaukee even, but, Appleton, Oshkosh, even Eau Claire, like up to Door County, things like that. You got to remember, when the NFL booked this, when it got announced, almost within that first day, the NFL had taken most of the hotels available in the Green Bay area. Now, obviously, there's Airbnb stuff going on, and there's certainly lots of people staying in Green Bay, but there are probably way more staying around the state. So I think, like I said, I think there's going to be traffic in and out of Green Bay, probably going to be like game day on steroids a little bit, but it's nothing that Green Bay can't handle. I do think you'll notice it. There's going to be hard to miss, but I know some people have kind of questions Green Bay's ability to even host this thing. And I think a lot of that is going to be it's going to turn out a lot of that is overblown. Joe, how you doing, man? If you won the Masters, what's your champion's dinner? Why was this? How did this turn into a thing this year? I'd never even heard of this until I think it was somebody online talked about it the other day. Man, I don't know. Probably either Sarah's red beans and rice that she makes that I absolutely love, or my mom's old school shepherd's pie recipe. One of those two. I did see this, Michael. Did you see that report that the Packers have one? I love that it's a quote report. The Packers have one of the worst draft picks numbers in terms of stars in the last 20 years. Thoughts? I have no thoughts other than who's defining these terms. First of all, report, and then worst, and then stars. But have you given any thought to where the Packers were picking and who was already on their team when they made those selections and what they were trying to accomplish? Look, I get it, man. The Packers haven't picked a murderer's row of all-stars and all-pros and things like that while picking at picks 20 and beyond. That is a pretty rare occurrence, but I think a lot of that is pretty surface level and doesn't occupy a whole lot of my time, but I get why people do it, and I get why it's a talking point. Let's say that. Jim, thanks for the super chat. Tell us more about this Bratzuka. I wish I could, sir, but hopefully someone will get it on video for you next Thursday night. Or this Thursday night. Can't believe I'm going to be in Wisconsin in a day. Brandy, thank you for the super chat. How has Halfley handled the transition to a 4-3, and how much hangover from the 3-4 is left? Oh, I think the 3-4 is out the door at this point, especially considering they have a new defensive line coach. Now, obviously, you have to work in concert with the coverage and things like that, but I think there's a really good handle on the personnel in the door already. We'll see what they add as far as the draft goes. But yeah, there's little doubt in my mind that after a year, and then they'll have another kind of off season under their belt, another training camp, etc. By the time the season rolls around this year, the 3-4 is a long forgotten part of the past. That doesn't mean that, like, some guys maybe aren't who they have left over, right? Maybe Kenny Clark, maybe Rashawn Gary aren't like the prototypical guys you would have picked for those positions if you had been running a 4-3 when you brought them on board. But man, I think we saw Rashawn settle in really nicely last year. Hopefully Kenny can start turning around next season. But yeah, I think the 3-4 is a pretty distant memory at the start of this season. No doubt about it. All right, buddy, I'm going to have to get going. I cannot thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Patreon members, Carry the G Club members, do not forget, we have happy hour at the top of the hour tonight. So in about 35 minutes, we'll be yucking it up. The information is available on your respective pages. For the rest of you, please, please do me a monster favor. Hit like on the video, subscribe to the channel, and then tell your friends and tell your family, Cheesehead TV, we are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great night. Go Pack, go.